Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm super excited to have a very interesting guest on the program with us today. Her name is Diane Teagarden, and she is an author of several books. In fact, one of the ones that we're going to talk about today is Money and Relationships. You know, we just recently had a guest on talking about how our personalities affect how we deal with each other and relationships and also with money. And so Diane is going to be sharing with us a lot from her experience dealing with marriages and relationships. So Diane, welcome to the program.
Thank you, David. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's our pleasure, and welcome, and thank you for joining us. You have such an interesting background. Okay, so I'm going to let you introduce yourself and tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and where you come from, and then we'll get into some of the things that I know you've written extensively about in your book. So tell them who you are first.
Well, primarily I think of myself as a writer because I've written ever since I was a little girl, and I've written just about everything. I've written jingles that came out on radio. I've written cards, you know, verses for cards, and I've written for environmental journalism. I've done that for about 15 years, and I've written self-help books and poetry, and I've got a collection of my poetry out, so that's sort of why I had to become a self-publisher. And I'm a kind of a do-it-yourselfer type of person because, you know, I can't wait. I can't wait for other people to help me. I just have to, let me just do this, you know.
I know all about it. I can completely relate. Well, the website for all of Diane's publications is firewalkerpublications.com, firewalkerpublications.com. And the particular book, she's got several, and I've already been to the website, and I'm looking forward to getting my own copy. The one in particular that we're going to make reference to, because we want to talk about money and relationships, because this is a financial show, and money is so integral, such an integral part of really everything that we do, and especially with relationships. Your book is How to Escape a Bad Marriage, a Self-Help Divorce Book for Women. I know you have several others, and you've got another one coming out about budgeting.
Yeah.
But let's talk about really the you know, the elephant in the room when it comes to relationships, money. How much does money really affect relationships?
Well, I'll tell you, most people are under the misunderstanding that, you know, it's infidelity, as they say in the vernacular, people going out on each other, that breaks up most marriages. But the number one reason that people break up is over money problems. And that's everything ranging from one person makes more than the other person, one person spends, you know, feels like they spend more than the other person. They can't, no matter how much money they make, they can't seem to have enough to live on, and they're always, you know, getting services turned off. They're getting, you know, they don't have what they want in life. And then, of course, as you get older, you find out that if you don't manage your money, even if you have a good relationship, things can turn very sour because you end up without enough money to retire, which, you know, I was reading your wonderful book that you were nice enough to pass on to me, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. And one thing that really, you know, jumped out at me was the fact that we both agreed that the number one problem in relationships is money. So why not get on board with it right away? Let's not pretend like this is something we don't talk about or that we can't love each other. I mean, there's so many weird concepts about love. How is starving together love? I don't get that. So.
Well, yeah, and it's okay. I mean, if people really love each other, then I think what you're referring to is that love can be safe and separate from an argument. You know,
yeah.
It's okay. Just because we argue doesn't mean we don't love each other, and it doesn't mean that we don't respect each other. We just disagree, and especially when it comes to money. And there are a number of times, and this, of course, is one of the things that's a little bit frustrating. I'll jump on the couch here for a second. Frustrating for me, and I know you can relate to it, is trying to help people with money. Sometimes I've got a relationship I can see between a couple that's sitting there with me trying to get financial advice, and there is a significant gap or disagreement about money and the authority in the relationship over money.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's just such a landmine for me to try to tiptoe through trying to help them.
Right, because actually that is something that if the people can agree on between themselves that, you know, okay, one person's always going to make more than the other for whatever reason. One's been in that, you know, field for longer. One might have, you know, they might both have degrees, but one might, like I say, have superior degrees that where they're making more money. It should not be the basis of your respect for each other, you know, is how much money the other person makes. And if you're hiding how you spend your, you know, the money that's going into the pot, because most states are community property states. So believe it, both of you own everything, including all the debts.
That's
right.
You
own all the money together. You own all the debts together. So why can't it be something that's out in the open as far as, you know, what you're spending money on? And that may be why the bills aren't getting paid at the end of the month and you're constantly, you know, charging up your credit cards or borrowing on the sly, you know, from family. And that can ruin relationships with your family.
Well, and again, if you can't trust somebody on that, what can you trust them on? Diane, we're going to take a quick break. Come right back. Diane Teagarden is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, author of a wide variety of writing that she does. The FirewalkerPublications.com is the website. We'll be right back.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
We're back, and Diane Teagarden is joining us. She has several books. The one that we're referencing today is a self-help divorce book for women, and the website is firewalkerpublications.com. I love that website name, Diane. I love
Thank
that.
You.
You know what? I want to make a, and I know you'll agree with me, so I'm going to do it real quick here. I want to make a plea to women out there that don't feel like they know what's going on with their finances, or they feel in the dark, or they feel like they're under somebody's thumb about the money, to assert themselves. Doesn't mean to be rude or mean or whatever, but to assert themselves and get involved, because I could tell story after story of women that have not done that, who have gotten themselves into some real trouble, either in a divorce or when the person dies and they have no idea and it's a mess.
Well, let me first tell everyone, it's not your fault that you don't know about finances, even though you've gone through high school, junior high, a four-year university, because there aren't any courses that are considered general education that simply tell you how to even balance your checkbook. Unless you're going into CPA or financial planning, you're not going to learn these things unless you take the initiative. So one of the things, and I've got a couple of very quick tips that can help people. How do you get started? How do you put your toe in if you don't know anything about it? As you said, if one of the partners pass away and the other partner is the one that didn't know anything about the finances, you're going to be in a world of woe. You won't know how to even pay your own bills. You won't know,
where the money is.
Yeah, you won't know where the money is.
Literally.
So, first of all, having separate checking accounts is a very bad idea. The reason I say that is because if you have a joint checking account where, you know, your money goes into jointly, you get the bank statement at the end of the month, and you can see where all the money is going.
And you've got authority to ask for that bank statement or to stop by the bank and get information if you have questions, or
sure,
especially if something happens.
Sure. And the thing of it is, you know, a lot of times, and it's it's really an innocent thing. It's not that the other person's hiding this information from you, but you may not realize where you're spending your money. And until you know exactly where the money is going, you won't know how to fix the problem. So let's say, for example, in my personal case, my husband and I love to go out to eat. So I decided I'm going to go ahead and track it for about a month through bank statements, you know, if it comes out of your debit card or through your credit card statements, where you can just highlight all the food that you spend on restaurants going out. You add that all up. If it's more than a quarter of your intake per month, you're eating out too much,
yeah,
you know? And there's also a quick fix for that. If you get paid, say, twice a month, just go out on the payday. So instead
That's
of
smart.
Just every single weekend, because it's hard to remember. You're like, well, how much am I spending? That'll automatically cut anything that you do every single week. If you only do it on your paydays, you're going to cut it in half automatically. That's just so simple.
No, that's very good. And I think that, you know, to be engaged in the process and to know where stuff is. And again, I could tell you story after story, but people need to be aware and cognizant of that, because things happen. And here's another one, Diane, that if something happens to, you know, the woman's husband, does she know who the broker is? Does she have a relationship? Does she know who the advisor is? Or worse, there's a divorce and you don't have statements, you don't know where the money is. I mean, it's just such a mess.
Yeah, you hear that all the time where one spouse hides it from the other spouse, and then they end up literally with nothing and out on the street with their kids. So, you know, getting involved is, first of all, the healthier the relationship is and the more honesty is in it, the stronger that relationship's going to be. So, and, you know, just to kind of peek around the corner on that, if you want to know what your man is doing with his money and all of a sudden, you know, he's spending all this money at expensive shops that sell, say, for example, you know, jewelry, or, and you know you're not getting any, hey.
Yeah, that's a he and you haven't seen him wear it. Then
you haven't seen him wear it, you know. So he's not, yeah. You know. So you know, it's like if you see 10 purchases from Victoria's Secret, and you know he's not wearing it, and you're not wearing it. Well, someone's wearing it, and you know. So, but and that's just, you know, that's on the negative side. But just for a couple that's not going through, like I say, anything to do with someone going out on them, just being involved together helps you be stronger together. Because how in the world do you know to cut down your expenses? Let's say, you know, you bring in $2,000 a month clear. This is net. But you spend $2,500 a month. So you're in debt $500 per month. How in the world do you even know how to cut that down unless you know where you're spending it?
Well, on top of that, what if you think if you're bringing home $2,000 and you think that your spouse isn't spending that much and you're spending $1,500, but you find out they're spending $1,500 as well?
Exactly.
So you got to know where it all is. Well, we're going to take another quick break, Diane. Diane Teagarden is our guest today. The website is firewalkerpublications.com. You can go there and get all the information about Diane and what she's all about, and the books, and also when her next book's coming out. So stay right there. We'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Diane Teagarden is our guest, firewalkerpublications.com. And we're talking about the money and relationships. And really, it's really a matter of financial honesty, I suppose. That's really what it is, and getting involved. You know, Diane, I work a lot with retirees. And so, as you might expect, you know, I'm working with survivors, you know, widows.
Right.
And I can tell you from firsthand experience, the women, and this, of course, is with men too, but with women that have been involved in the financial planning, they've been to the meetings with me, they already know me, they already know what's coming, they already know, we've already done planning, we already know what it looks like if it's just one of them. I've already done the financial plan that considers that. So it's just so much more knowledge, and you don't have to do the Susie Orman or whoever else might recommend don't do anything for a year approach. You already have a plan in place, so you don't have to wait for this nebulous period of time to expire before you make a financial decision, because decisions need to be made when it's just one person. So
I don't agree with that at all. I mean, I hadn't seen her show or seen that she had said that, but I think that that's, you know, that's discounting taking an intelligent approach.
Exactly.
Everybody does die. So, for example, you know, I'm the one that handles the finances in our relationship, but only because my husband doesn't want to, okay? It's not that he doesn't, you know, I'm doing something behind his back or whatever. You know, he says, you know, this is your area of expertise. You know, this
you
I don't,
do it.
I don't want to have anything to do with paperwork. He just doesn't care for it. So what I did was I have made up a document called When I Die, because everybody dies, okay? It's not if you die, it's when you die. So it's just called When I Die, so he could find it easily in my documents. And it tells him where, you know, our banks, the bank, the account numbers, you know, our life insurance and who to go to for that. It tells him, you know, my friends and how to get in contact with them for the final, you know, memorial mm-hmm. service, my wishes on that. And this is not something that would naturally go in a will. So this is just something for him so that he will not be completely left out in the cold in the middle of his bereavement. Of course, there's going to be the emotional downside for anyone who cares about their spouse who's passed away. But this actually alleviates a lot of...
Exactly.
You know, on top of being bereaved, you're completely in the dark and you're wondering how you're going to make it, and then you think you feel badly about yourself because you're thinking about that instead of the person. Well, it's like it all comes of a package. You know, when a person dies, what they are doing and what they have done and their work stops. So whatever you're responsible for in the relationship, you have a responsibility to your partner to not leave them in the dark in that way, and even have some. I also sent it to my main financial guy, who's also, you know, he does our retirement investments and life insurance accounts, because I'm thinking Wade may not remember that. Okay, he may not remember to go to my computer and or may feel guilty about it or whatever. I sent this in a closed envelope with a note saying, you know, Richard, can you please, you know, give this to Wade when it comes to you. I've told him if you can't remember anything else, go find Richard Regas. You know, go find he's the one that's going to know everything, because in an enclosed document, and I've got all our where our CDs are at, you know, checking accounts. You know, of course, he knows the checking accounts and savings accounts, but of all the other policies, the investment accounts and everything are right there outlined, so that at least he won't have to worry about that on top of being bereaved. I wanted to give a couple more little quick tips for people who are saying, well, okay, other than getting a joint checking account and looking at our statement once a month together, you do this together. There's not going to be any subterfuge. You're not trying to hide from each other. You're just trying to figure out where all that money is going at the beginning of the year, because each year your financial picture changes. The beginning of the year, make a budget. People use that word differently. What I mean by a budget is not just what you spend a month. We already know that from going over your expenses. What you need to have per month. And that's not just what you spend in 1 month. For example, most insurance policies, at least life insurance, will send you a bill every 3 months. So technically, in your 1 month budgeting, a figure should be one third of that bill, so that you have that
set aside.
3 months, you're not like whammied with this huge bill. Another one for property owners, you know, homeowners, property taxes, at least here in Southern California, they send you the statement once a year, and then two times you have to pay it out of two, you know, payments. And so instead of every 6 months, this thing whammies you in the head, and you say, my gosh, where am I going to come up with all this money? That total bill, your yearly annual bill, should be split up in 12 and put into the budget, or the money that you need per month, and those amounts should go into a savings account automatically.
Very good. Yeah, it's really about planning ahead and being, again, as I said earlier, being engaged in the process and knowing where you're headed. Diane, we're going to take one more quick short break, and we'll be right back. Diane Teagarden is our guest, firewalkerpublications.com. Stay right there.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week, I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
And we're back. Diane, let's kind of hit some final points here. We've talked about the importance of being involved and engaged and participating, and we talked before the break about how people, you know, each year things are different, but you need a budget and you got to plan ahead. How have you seen that work out for people? I know you talk to a lot of people, a lot of women about this. Talk about some of the positive things that come out of this and how people feel enabled with this process and approaching things this way.
Well, I'm teaching classes. One was for the Mothers Club, which are mothers with children under 3 years of age that need, you know, single mothers that need a little extra help. And they have had no idea how to approach their finances, and they feel like they're completely overwhelmed. Well, part of my course and in my book, Budgeting on a Dime, 10 Steps to Financial Independence, there's a huge chapter on reducing expenditures, and I'm talking every type of expenditure you have, from clothing to utilities to, you know, car payments, car insurance, all the insurances that you have. So I've seen them work through this course, and by the end of the course, they're telling me they're already reducing their expenses so that they are living within their means. And, I mean, that's an 8-week course, so that's pretty amazing. And
that's very good.
I also give them, you know, of course, my email and say, got any questions, if you know, need any help, not that I'm going to give them money, I'm going to give them help to figure out how to get their own money. And they have actually emailed me and say, okay, I'm going to go buy my first car, what should I do? And, you know, I give them a couple of tips, like, you know, if you have a credit union at work, join your credit union. They can give you better financial rate as far as interest on car loans. And then if you walk in with that confidence, a lot of times the car companies will say, well, darn, if you're going to walk out the door and take the deal out the door, you're going to buy the car from us, but let them financing, and that's where they, the car dealerships, make their most money.
And they'll get, all of a sudden, they get real competitive real
quick.
They
get very, because if you can say, well, okay, my credit union will give me 1.99 interest, can you beat that? Otherwise, the credit union's going to get the loan. And my guys just went down on their knees. They said, my God, you've got the best credit rating we've ever seen walk in the door. We'll give you 0% interest. I said, I
there
can
you go.
Deal with that.
Yeah, that should have been what you said, though, before I had to do that, right? I mean, we know how that works, but that's good. And so it's really about, you say that these are, you've got steps where people can really cut their expenses and trim. And I'm looking forward, I know that book's not quite ready to go yet, Budgeting on a Dime, 10 Steps to Financial Independence, but people can go to the website, firewalkerpublications.com, and look for your release date. Other things that you've seen people do, I mean, what are some other areas where people probably don't realize where they can save and reduce expenditures without really a huge change in lifestyle?
Well, I can give you one gigantic one, and this is one that I know is a little bit, scary to talk about, because this is one of those holy grail type things. But, okay, limit your Christmas shopping. Every single year I've seen people go deep into debt by going overwhelmingly spending on Christmas. And I'll tell you one number one finance rule. If you're still paying off your credit card debts from last Christmas, when this Christmas comes around, you're spending too much.
Yeah.
And I've got some tips in there. You know, make it more like a family holiday. Have a big family party. Get everyone together and tell stories, tell tales, things that have happened to you during the year that the whole family may not be prized.
Yeah, put the focus on the family and the storytelling and getting caught up with each other as opposed to the ceremonial gift exchange.
Right, because, I mean, you know, I've seen children tear into piles of, pretty wrapped gifts, and it's like they have more fun opening the boxes, and they just throw the toys to the side, and I'm thinking that represents hundreds and hundreds of dollars that by 6 months from now, those toys will be broken. Now, I'm not a Scrooge. I'm not saying, did I say don't buy Christmas presents? I said no. Make it so that, have a family, draft where, say there's four people in your family. So you put your four family names in the bowl, and everybody puts the individual's names in the bowl, and that family only draws out four names. So they're buying four presents instead of 20.
That sounds good to me, Diane. Okay, Diane, we're going to have to leave it right there. Diane Teagarden is our guest, firewalkerpublications.com. Diane, thanks for being on the program.
Thank you, David. It's been fun.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.